It was starting to rain as I drove the back way into Worcester, Massachusetts to attend my 40th sixth grade reunion. This dying mill town was the last place I ever wanted to return to. When I graduated from high school in 1967, I escaped, first moving to New York City and then to Oregon. I worked hard to shed my accent, and when people asked me where I was from, I would vaguely say that I grew up outside of Boston. Yet Worcester's gritty neighborhoods of triple-decker houses remained ingrained in my memory. These wood-framed three-story flats clustered around shuttered brick factories, connected by a web of unused railroad tracks. The triple-deckers were painted dreary shades of dark gray, tan, musty green, or dirty brown. A drenching rain poured down as I turned up the street toward my old grade school. Lee Street School looked almost exactly the same as it had 40 years ago, when we sat on the front steps to have our sixth grade class picture taken. I was a few minutes early and I didn't expect anyone else to be there yet, but as I turned into the parking lot, I saw a knot of people standing under umbrellas. I wondered why all these middle-aged people had gathered in the parking lot. Then I realized that these were my old classmates. I spotted Eddie Prunier, who organized this event. Last year, he somehow tracked me down to see if I was interested in traveling 3,000 miles for a reunion with my sixth grade classmates. I didn't remember him, and I really wasn't sure that I had the time or cared to travel that far, to spend a day with people I hadn't seen or thought about in 35 years. A few days later, a package arrived from Eddie. It was a color photocopy of our sixth grade class photo with everyone's name written on the back. In the upper left-hand corner of the photo, there was Eddie. I remember that he was one of the shortest boys in the class. As my eyes searched the photograph, I recognized nearly every face. I was standing in a red smock dress at one end of the second row. At the other end was one of my best friends, Donna Eatson, in a lavender jumper and white Peter Pan collar. While my expression was a little quizzical, Donna smiled sweetly into the camera, trying to please, as always. Behind her was Jeffrey Cook, the class bully, head cocked, his red shirt slightly askew. My eyes lingered on the photograph. I could feel the dry autumn leaves crunching under my feet as I climbed the steep hill that began my walk home from school every day. Mainly what I remembered about growing up in Worcester was a claustrophobic desire to leave. I had no sentimentality about my childhood. Yet gazing at this photograph, I started to understand why Eddie wanted to have this reunion. Looking at all these 11 and 12-year-old kids standing on the steps in front of our grade school back in 1961, I wondered what their lives were like now. A year later, I received a funky Xerox flyer. You were supposed to check one of two options. Yes, I wouldn't miss this reunion for anything. Or, no, I'm going to miss out on the most important event of a lifetime. Why would I want to go to a reunion in my sixth grade class? I never bothered to go to any of my high school or college reunions, not even my 30th college reunion that was happening that same day in New York City. Yet, I got a plane ticket and a hotel reservation. As the day of the Lee Street School reunion drew near, I found myself thinking, why am I doing this? Would I have anything to say to these people? Most of them still lived only a few miles from the grade school. Probably I was the only one who had become a hippie, a political activist, a lesbian feminist. Would they all think I was weird? But actually, what I was really afraid of was that I would feel like I was too cool to be there. Standing in the rain, still perky and short, Eddie was sharing a huge black umbrella with Donna Eatson, my best friend in fourth grade. Donna's hair was almost white, but she looked just like I remembered her. She ran up to me exclaiming, "Where are your braids? I remember you with braids." I reminded her that I cut them off in fifth grade. We gazed into each other's older but eerily familiar faces as if we were staring into a mirror, and time started speeding backwards as the rain splashed all around us. Eddie ushered us inside the old school building. In our day, 300 students attended Lee Street School, kindergarten through sixth grade. Now it is a Head Start center, but hardly anything has changed. The same oak-paneled vestibule and heavy fire doors. The echoing wainscoted corridor where we huddled against the walls with our heads tucked between our legs during air raid drills. The wooden walls and floors reverberate with the echoes of 25 middle-aged people gasping in astonishment at the familiarity of everything.
Is it Barbara?
Yes.
Barbara Bernstein? Look at that.
You're who?
Carol Buckley.
Hi, Carol.
Isn't that funny? I'm looking at him saying, it's Barbara.
Our 12-year-old eyes peek recognizably through middle-aged faces. Phil Torgerson, the minister's son, comes up to me, and we fall into conversation as if we'd just seen each other last week.
First of all, I couldn't believe it when I got the note from Eddie. I thought, what a great idea, but I have to admit that I didn't think that Eddie could pull it off. I figured everybody is going to be in different parts of the world. They're going to say, oh, it's a nice idea, but I really don't have time. And maybe three people would show up. This is like practically everybody's here. It's fantastic.
Across the hall, I spot Jeffrey Cook. I didn't like him when we were kids. He was always getting into trouble, and he liked to pick on the smart kids in class, especially me. I'm amazed that he's here. I figured he might be in jail or too strung out to find his way back to Lee Street School. He really seems happy to see me, and I find myself grinning at a surprising kindred spirit.
How has life been treating you? Good?
It's been really good, yeah.
Are you living in Worcester?
No, I live in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's nice out there. I've been out there before. I've been doing some work on the West Coast. I've been an actor and a singer for years.
Oh, really?
I just did a movie last year, yeah. I'm going to be doing another television show. So.
Cool.
What do you do out in Oregon?
Well, I'm a radio producer.
Are you?
And a musician.
Are you?
Yeah.
I remember. That's where you used to play violin.
Yeah.
Haha, how's my memory?
Pretty good.
Not bad for 40 goddamn
that's
years.
That's right.
That's right. I remember you then.
Eddie tries to herd us onto the front steps of the school so we can recreate our sixth grade class photo, everyone standing in the same spot we occupied 40 years ago.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to have a picture taken. Okay? Come this way.
Out in the rain.
What are you doing? Out here. Barbara, stand here.
You want a profile or a full frontal?
Yeah, you want a profile.
Yeah. Put a number on him.
We got to squeeze.
We're all a little bigger than we were 40 years ago.
I wanted to do this more than go to my high school reunion.
That's Janie Yarrow, who's standing right behind me. She was the only other Jewish kid in our class. When we were in junior high school, we both fell in love with West Side Story, and we'd walk through the corridor singing When You're a Jet.
What are we now, line up here? I didn't do it.
Cook did it.
After the photo, Eddie tries to take us on a tour of the school.
Everybody remembers kindergarten.
No.
Is the kindergarten class. Everybody remember that?
No.
Okay,
Ms.
good.
Ms. Amazon,
that's right.
I'm walking beside Jeffrey Cook. His face betrays the self-destructive course of his life, but his eyes are backlit with an artistic sensitivity I remember that only came out when he sang, the only time he wasn't getting into trouble. I can also see in his eyes that he's taken at least as many psychedelic drugs as I have.
Well, I still remember where I spent most of my time, the principal's office.
Jeffrey Cook, go to the principal's office now!
We mill around in our old sixth grade classroom. You can still see the holes in the floor where the cast iron legs of the lift top oak desks were screwed down. I stand with Donna by the old wardrobe, sharing memories.
I remember you. You wrote your own newspaper. I probably have one put in a box someplace.
Eddie wants to round us all up and go out for lunch, but nobody else seems ready to leave yet. So I suggest that we go around the room and all say something about what our lives have been like for the last 40 years.
My name is Eddie Prunier, and I'm a physician. I work in New York City, and I live on Long Island. I have a daughter, 9 years old, and a son who's 14.
I'm Donna Eastman. I've come in from Los Angeles. I was a pioneer and went into dentistry, and I had an office in Los Angeles for a while, teach at a number of dental schools, and kind of retired now to take care of my young children. I have three young daughters.
Donna and I were the two highest achieving girls in the class. We were also very competitive and fought a lot. In fifth grade, a new girl, Chris Irvine, joined our class, and I soon dropped Donna and became best friends with Chris.
I'm Chris Irvine, and I've been in banking for 30 years, and I've only had to apply for a job once. I work for the largest bank that ever failed in this country, Bank of New England.
In junior high, Chris and I were in different classes, and we drifted apart. But Janie Yarrow and I hung out together until high school, and she was always trying to teach me how to be cool.
My name is Jane Yarrow Toms. I live in Boston in Medford, Massachusetts, and my husband and I, this is my second husband, and I have just come back yesterday from a seven-month road trip where we had quit our jobs, got a big pickup truck and a slide-on camper and saw the USA, did all the national parks and followed music all the way from Tennessee and Louisiana all the way out to California. Now I'm going to try and jump back into the job market. I'm not really sure what I want to do.
The bad boys are still sitting in the back of the class, Zach and Jeff and Jack.
My name is Zach Alexanian. When I left Lee Street, went to Forest Grove, and from there to Boys Trade School. And from there, my draft number was very high, so I joined the Navy for 4 years active duty to avoid getting drafted into the Army during the Vietnam. Have two daughters, one 33, one 35, and two grandkids. Yes. And been married times, so that's... so, three.
And, third
tries a chance. Forget about it. you try as many times as you want. If you don't, if you don't have it, you don't have it. Yeah, right, it just don't work.
I'm Jeff Cook. I was a little tough to handle as a kid, I guess. And so they sent me to five secondary schools. Well, I had a little bit of a checkered past. I've been all over the world. I've been a commercial fisherman. I've been in the Merchant Marine for years. I am truly flooded with memories looking up at the ceiling. It's just wonderful to be here with you and still sucking air and taking solids. And it's really wonderful for me because I doubt I'll get a second 40.
They're doing wonderful things with drugs these days, Jeff.
Really?
We can live longer. We can all live longer.
I never tried that.
That's why I wanted to point it out to you. You
understand? I'm Jack Howarth. When I left these hallowed halls, I tried assumption prep with Eddie, and me and the good fathers didn't get along quite well. They asked me to leave after my junior year, so I graduated. I was the first graduating class from Daugherty Memorial. When I left Daugherty, I went to the University of Da Nang, which was a garden spot of East Asia. And I'm now in my 35th year with the post office. I'm postmaster of Yarmouth down the Cape. My wife and I, in 2 weeks, will be celebrating our 30th wedding anniversary.
Oh, nice.
Rarity. Rarity these days. And I have three great kids. I thought when Eddie first called me on this, I said, you got to be kidding me. It's absolutely incredible the amount of work you people put into this to get a hold of everybody. Those of us that are still alive, that is.
One of our deceased classmates was Tommy Shamgosian, who was always getting into trouble with Jeff and Zachary.
Tommy and I went down to the railroad tracks. We're on a stone wall. We're on a stone wall this high, okay? And we put the two or three caps on the ground. Kids outside, teachers, it was recess. Place was full of people. Tommy and I climbed up on the stone wall and both of us lifted this rock that we were gonna drop on this bomb, okay? And we dropped it and it hit. And shrapnel went from here to everywhere. I mean, it was just everywhere. The sky was full of rocks. And when the dust cleared, the two big steel doors that you push the thing went just like this. Boom, bang. we must have sheared the hinges. And then later on in the classroom, the principal, he says, will the two boys, he came over the loudspeaker, and Tommy and I were sitting right there, will the two boys who blew the doors off the school please come down to the office? Well, that's
did you go, Zach?
You know.
Well, my name is Roger Guernsey. I've gone through two marriages,
Gave up drugs 30 years ago after incarceration, gave up alcohol 25 years ago after running a car off the road. Grateful member of a 12-step fellowship.
I can see the tentative second grader inside the bald, smiling man who is talking. I remember Roger sitting at his desk beside the wide bank of windows, trying to figure out how to please the teacher and make the other kids like him.
So I'm going to do one of three things. I'm either going to get ordained as a minister, or start a plowing and landscaping business, or just bag it all and buy an RV and go across the country, which probably will be door number three.
Yeah, definitely.
Standing next to me now is Billy Sanders, who was the smartest boy in the class. In fourth grade, we sat next to each other, and we often got teased about being boyfriend and girlfriend. Actually, both of us were way too shy to be interested in each other.
My name is Bill Sanders. I went to Phillips Exeter Academy, and I went on to Princeton University and majored in the 60s and minored in philosophy. coming out of that, it was a little chaotic times for me. Didn't find much of a career focus for quite a while. Eventually wound up working in healthcare services. Decided I need more education and went back to college, learning to be a physician assistant, which I now am. Living in the Adirondack Park up in New York and delivering rural medicine family practice for the past 10 years or so. That's where I am. Never got married, stayed single, yep.
Now how about Barbara Bernstein?
Okay.
What was that?
Walking encyclopedia.
Donna Eatson would tease me when we were kids by calling me a walking encyclopedia. For a moment, I bristled with memories of being taunted because I was smart. And then I realized that here, recording this event, I'm somehow playing out the role I had as a kid in this class.
I went to school in New York at Barnard, and I was like, Billy, I majored in LSD and SDS and minored in creative writing, and in 68 was part of the Columbia Revolution and was in the president's office and got, I mean, that was the first time I was arrested. Unlike Jeff, most of my arrests were political, though I did get busted for shoplifting in Oregon in 1970.
But the most important piece of my life is the hardest one to share. And I feel really nervous, as I say.
And I met my partner many years ago, but we've been together for 18 years, my partner Elaine, and we have two cats and a dog.
So, where over the rainbow blue birds fly.
Jeffrey Cook stands in front of the classroom and dedicates a song to our two classmates who have died. One of their mothers is standing at the side of the room holding back tears.
If happy little bluebirds fly beyond the rainbow, why, oh, why can I? Guys, it's, let me tell you from the bottom of my heart to the tip of my soul, it is lovely to see you all. And I know we all have ones that aren't here. God bless us all for being here. That's all I
can say. God bless you, Jeff.
Well, enough of that beer.
Who's next?
We go out for lunch at a little cafe owned by one of our classmates. It's across town in an old shopping mall, which has barely changed since we were sixth graders. Even the prices on the menu could have been from 1961. I sit with Roger Guernsey and Jane Yarrow. They both want to talk to me about my being a lesbian. Roger tells me about all his lesbian friends, and Jane asks me if I ever thought that she was gay. I tell her that when I look at old photos of her, that notion crossed my mind, but that I also remember that she was always more into boys than I ever was. I tell her how in junior high school when we all flipped out over West Side Story, and she and everyone else had crushes on George Chakiris, I had a crush on Natalie Wood. Of course, I never told anyone. 4 hours into the reunion, people are still hanging out together talking. I can't believe that we're actually so interested in each other that it's this hard to leave. My tear myself away after promising to make CD copies of the recording I made and mail them to everybody. Donna, who always loved to collect the milk money, collects a few dollars from everyone to cover my costs. A month later, I got an email from Jane Yarrow. It was really fun to see everyone. Our next trip should include Oregon, Washington, and some of the more northerly states, so we'll definitely look you up then, if not sooner. Thanks for the CD. I'll be in touch. P.S. I loved your George Chakiris Natalie Wood story.